Joining us again this morning, we have Pamela Joy with us, and you are the director of the Ashland Food Angels. Welcome to Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
A couple of things. First of all, if you'd like to join the conversation this morning, we remind you that you can call anywhere from 800-838-3760 in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or if you have an email question, jx@jeffnet.org. You've just received a pretty prestigious award, haven't you, from E-Town?
Well, yes. I didn't know how prestigious it was until my daughter said, "Oh, E-Town."
Well, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into the Achievement Award, let's talk a little bit about your particular background and what led you to the Ashland, the Angel Network.
Well, I lived at a community called Findhorn in Scotland for much of the 80s, and when I left there at the end of 89, I made a personal commitment that I wanted to do something that really served the planet in some way. And I thought it was going to be something to do with nature, but this just unfolded in a very easy way. When I first moved to Ashland in 92 with my family, I became aware that, for one thing, two landfills had closed. That was alarming to me in the near area. And also that there were people in this area that were hungry, and also that food was being wasted. And so I think it was about 95 that I actually contacted the Northwest Seasonal Workers, and they asked me to bring potatoes from Geppetto's to the Seasonal Workers office once a week. And I was very happy to do that, and it seemed to me that that wasn't enough. So I began asking around, and I went to all the bakeries and found out they were throwing the bread away, and they were happy to give it to me. And then it grew from there.
And initially, it was pretty much just yourself, wasn't it? I mean, for a while, it grew kind of slowly and then got bigger and bigger.
Right. It was just for the first 5 years, it was just me. My daughter and my then partner did help some, but it was mostly my project. And it ended up going from, you know, one trip once a week to 3 to 4 or 5 hours a day every day of the week. And that change happened fairly quickly.
So in the roughly 18 years or so that you've been participating, I looked at some of the numbers that I was provided here. You've helped roughly 3 million people over that time. Is that correct?
Well, the E-Town people actually worked with me to help gather the numbers. And the way things are counted, that's the number that we came up with.
Wow. 5 million pounds of food?
Yeah. We started weighing the food about 2 years ago. So then we extrapolated backwards and estimated about 5 million pounds. And that's maybe a low estimate because we often forget to weigh it.
Tell me a little bit about that process. How do you and the volunteers go about collecting the food? And you mentioned the start with the potatoes. How do you go about doing that today?
Well, we have places set up, and I'm so grateful because there is a lot of generosity in this area. And the Ashland Community Food Store, the shopping cart, and especially the Market of Choice has been very supportive since they opened right from the beginning. Cantwell's Market was the first market that I worked with. But right now, I have a driver that there's an early morning driver that goes out about 7:30 and does an early pickup, and there's a mid-morning driver that goes out about 9:30, and then there's an evening driver that goes out and picks up in the evening. And then there are people that's all brought to a central location, and then there's a different set of people that come in and sort through the food because it comes in a bit of a jumble.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's good, some of it's not good. Things are mixed together, and so we need to separate it out. And we try very hard not to throw anything away. So food that's not good enough for people, we have our sheep destination.
Yeah.
Or goats. I have a sheep farmer and a goat farmer that takes that part.
it's an interesting process how you go through all of this. Joining us this morning, Pamela Joy, and she is with the Ashland Food Angels. She is being recognized by E-Town with their Achievement Award, and we'll talk about that in a moment. To join the conversation here on the Jefferson Exchange, you can call us anywhere from 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You're actually headed up to Portland for the taping of this show. Is that correct?
No. Oh. I'm going to Portland to visit my daughter. The show was taped in September.
Taped in September. Yeah. My mistake. And then it'll be airing sometime in the next few days, including right here on Jefferson Public Radio.
Right. They said it would be airing across the nation between the 11th and the 17th. So E-Town is on here at JPR on Saturday at noon on the news and rhythm and news section.
Yes, that's correct.
And I also forgot to say that I talked about the bringing in and the sorting, but then we have deliveries. And so we've had up to about 20 different groups that we've given food to. And some get food on a regular basis. Like we take much bread to the food bank as well as vegetables and milk. But we take things to the food bank 6 days a week. And then there's school groups, kids groups, Head Start, Senior Center, Northwest Seasonal Workers, Gospel Mission. We have now over a dozen different groups that we're donating to.
Do you mostly take the food to some of these partnership groups, or do you also have the equivalent of a Meals on Wheels for seniors and that kind of thing?
No, we didn't want to duplicate the food bank, and also because of the location of our sorting room, it's not a walk-in place where people can get food. So we give food to organizations that then give it out to their members or people that walk into their organization.
For the last few years, we've been through the so-called Great Recession, and of course, it's hit here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, as well as other places. You folks kind of have what I would say boots on the ground. You sort of see a first line of need out there. Is it greater now? Are things getting better, or are things getting worse?
Well, I don't think in terms of better or worse, but I do notice that there's more need. There are more people, for instance, that go to the food bank. There are new groups that come to us and ask for help. So I don't know that that's worse. I mean, people need to help people ongoingly, and this is an opportunity. And I just see this as part of the network that holds communities together. It's kind of like a weaving, and we're part of the threads.
What's your current needs right at this moment, this winter?
Well, I think we have two very old donated vans, and I think one of them died in this cold spell. So I could really be happy if somebody wanted to donate another van in a running condition. Money is always helpful. We operate on, definitely less than $4,000 a year, sometimes less than $3,000 a year. I mean, I just try to juggle everything to make it as cost-free as possible. And we could use more helpers always. We could use food donations. Sometimes people have trees that aren't harvested or bushes or gardens, and donating food means that it can get out to people who need it.
That's such a little amount of money. I mean, that's just astonishing. So it's all volunteer, isn't it?
We're all volunteer, including me. And part of the reason it can be so economically feasible is because I donate about 20 to 30 hours a week and a space. And I won't be around forever. So we're going to need some kind of large donation to move it to a place, to a different location, and possibly hire a manager that can do what I'm doing. I'd also love to have somebody who'd want to give. Most volunteers give about 4 hours a week. I'd love to have somebody who would say, I want to learn what you're doing and give you some relief and put in a bit more than 4 hours a week. That would be great for me. I get tired sometimes.
I bet. You also collect and distribute things other than food as well, mm-hmm. don't you? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we're doing and have done a number of clothing distributions, and we also collect household goods and pass those on. I don't really have the transport for big things like furniture, but kitchen things are very helpful to people, and clothing always goes.
We're speaking with Pamela Joy, the winner of an Achievement Award from E-Town, honored for your roughly 18 years of work distributing food and clothing and other things here in Ashland, other parts of the Rogue Valley as well. I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you were in community theater for many years. Is that correct? That almost seems like herding cats to me. And I was wondering if that sort of experience really transferred to what you're doing now. Is that a good way to learn how to manage a bunch of volunteers going different directions?
Well, I guess I've done many, many different things. I guess it would have been called community theater. I worked in Europe in several different places, including London, and we did community arts, we called it, rather than community theater, which was taking things on the street to locations where people didn't have any much creativity or opportunities for artistic expression, and working primarily with young people, but often with adults, to involve them in some interaction. So I've worked with a lot of people. I helped to run art center in London. And in fact, as part of that, for a year, I ran the restaurant, which was in the basement. So, and I had to hire and fire people and help organize people. So I guess, yeah, there's been, the universe has provided me a lot of background for doing this.
The folks that you work with, you mentioned a little bit about how individuals can volunteer and help out in different ways, whether it's donating their time or perhaps some money or whatever. I'd like you to address maybe in a broader society way what you think we should be doing to try to take care of the poor.
Well, for one thing, it appalls me that food is thrown away. Any good food thrown away is unacceptable to me. There needs to be more avenues. I started this because it seemed like such a simple thing. You move it from point A to point B. And then it got much more complicated, of course. But it doesn't have to be. It can be really simple. And if people would work with local stores and say, what are you willing to give? What can we give? And then set up a distribution. Food doesn't have to go to the landfill. I think that there are already organizations in place that could be tapped into and as help and create a network that helps facilitate the moving of food or clothing or whatever is useful from the place where it, like a store, to a group that would be able to give it away.
Are the laws, the current laws that we have, are those barriers, or is it more just societal norms, our attitudes that need to change about helping the poor?
Well, my understanding is that it was Bill Clinton that set up something called the Good Samaritan Law. And I was sent this, and I have it on my records, but I didn't read it through very carefully. But I understand that basically it says if something is given by a store or anyone in good faith, that they can't be held liable if that food or item proves to be problematic. And so the Good Samaritan Law should enable stores to feel relieved that they won't get sued if they give, which I assume is the problem why a lot of corporates say, no, we're not going to give anything, we're just going to throw it away. And if that's not so, then perhaps we need to look at changing the law. Certainly, I think we need to look at changing our cultural attitudes, which is, oh, we can just throw it away. There's always more. I mean, we have to start looking at our resources as something very, very precious, whether it's food or water or clothing or whatever. It's that everything has its use. Now, I come from the old school of use it till it's used up or worn out.
Right.
Don't throw it away unless it's absolutely not usable anymore. And I don't always see that. And I'd like to see that cultural norm change to people go, oh, what can I do with this? Where's the most elegant place this can go? Who needs this?
You mentioned a little bit about some of your current needs. You wish you had a new van, for example. Looking at the organization and its structure, and you hinted a little bit about this, that, you know, the future, what would you like? Where would you like to see the organization go? Would you like to see it expand greatly, or is it better to keep it small and volunteer, grassroots oriented?
Well, I'm an advocate for small is beautiful. I don't necessarily want to get bigger. I would, however, love to see projects like this started in many, many places. People have said to me, oh, write a book, make a film. I'd love to do that. I just don't have the time. But I would like to find a way to encourage others to do this in other communities, small or large communities. This can be done within neighborhoods in a big city, and certainly in small towns, it's very doable. So having help to make a video that could go out on YouTube, perhaps, having the time to write a booklet about the how-to, because it's all in my head. I've got to get it down in words so that people can have an idea what to do.
Well, I think hearing about the Achievement Award on eTown, there's probably a lot of people around the country who will hear this, around the world even. You know, you download the podcast, you do whatever, and it may trigger some ideas in their communities and where they can model what you've done. But it's pretty tremendous, 18 years again, roughly, that you've been involved in this. And congratulations for winning this award. I know that you don't start out to win an award or anything, but it is always wonderful to see someone recognized who's really trying to make their community a better place. So Pamela Joy, thank you today, and good luck to your Ashland Food Angels.
Thank you. And I want to also thank Jeff Land, because he was the person who nominated me for the award and has been helpful very, very much in the Food Angels.
Well, thank you again. And just a little preview of what we have coming up in our next hour. Teddy Roosevelt, we're going to be talking about a new book and his relationship to growing up in New York City. The author contends that he was more a man of an urban background than this sort of Wild West figure that we sometimes look at. And we'll be talking with the author about his new book, Heir to the Empire City, New York, and the Making of Theodore Roosevelt.